praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. During the final 6 days of his life on the earth, the Lord Jesus presented himself to be examined repeatedly, even by his strongest critics and most venomous opposers. Ron Kangas is here today as we begin to look at how Christ came through this series of examinations in Matthew 21. Welcome back to the program, Ron.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to enter into, through fellowship, the marvelous revelation of Christ we have in this chapter. While the Lord is being examined by the religionists, he is being exhibited, manifested, expressed, revealed in his wonderful, all-inclusive person, and certain aspects of his person are revealed here in a particular way. This ministry and this portion really merits our utmost attention and very focused concentration.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, Ron. Well, what you just said brings up an interesting point. Why, if here was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God incarnate into humanity, why did he need to present himself to be examined by man?
The particular context here is the days preceding his redemptive death on the cross. And we know from other scriptures that the Lord was about to die for us as the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And as the Lamb of God, he is the reality of the type of the Passover Lamb. So to have the reality of this type, he needs to be examined and proved, just as the Passover Lamb was examined and proved to be without defect and without blemish. So the Lord is not examined here with respect to his lordship, his deity, his Godhead. Rather, as a man who is to be the reality of the Passover Lamb, he must be proved and tested to be faultless, to be without blemish, to be without defect. So we have the test here, which proves for eternity what a wonderful Christ, what a wonderful God-man we have as our Redeemer, Savior, and so much more, as we will see later.
Ron, what genuine believer cannot help but respond fully in their heart to any glimpse of the Lord Jesus as the real Lamb of God?
This should touch us very deeply to appreciate not only what he has done for us, but who and what he is as revealed in what he has done for us. We must really, out of love for him, focus our being on his person, and on his glorious, tremendous work on our behalf.
Well, the first of these examinations was carried out jointly by the chief priests and by the elders of the people. This is Matthew 21, starting at verse 23. And when he came into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and said, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come, from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the crowd, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We do not know. He too said to them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Let's join Witness Lee.
In the last week, Christ was examined for 6 days. We all know by the gospel that the Lord Jesus was crucified right on the day of the Passover. This indicates that he was the real lamb for the Passover. And the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12 was just a type. He himself, Christ, was the real Passover lamb. And the examination by the children of Israel was done by 4 ways. Firstly, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. 2 powers added together. The power of religion, represented by the chief priests, and the power of the people, represented by the elders of the people. Christ, standing there as the Passover lamb, was examined. In other words, was tested concerning his authority. They questioned him, from where you got the authority? The Lord Jesus, he asked them, you just tell me from where the baptism of John the Baptist came, from the heaven or from man? We don't know. This is a lie. The Lord Jesus knew that they wouldn't tell him. So the Lord Jesus answered, Neither do I tell you. This answer was really wise, exposing their lies. So the Lord Jesus passed the first aspect of the children of Israel's examination.
Well, Ron, sometimes when we're confronted by a wise or very clever adversary, the safest answer to a question may be, I don't know. And this seemed to be the tactic of the religious and secular leaders here, trying to trap the Lord Jesus. But he seemed very ready for their cautious response, and he was still able to expose them in their lie, wasn't he?
It wasn't a matter that they didn't know, but they were not willing to say what they knew. Because if they did, they would have been exposed one way or the other. Whatever they said would have exposed them and trapped them. So they lied by saying, we don't know. And so it is, and I would just add this before we advance in this message. We should not play with the Lord Jesus, thinking that our cleverness or our ingenuity or our intelligence can be sufficient to enable us to, shall we say, deal with him. We have here a person who is the embodiment of all wisdom and knowledge. And to try to converse with him relying on human cleverness, there's no way we can prevail. The issue will be we're exposed and he is manifested. So that's what we see here. The Lord is manifested, revealed as such a wonderful, wise one, and the religionists are exposed in their natural cleverness, in their politics, and eventually in their lying.
Well, Ron, in this coming section, there's a twofold revelation that's going to be presented. The first is that due to the rejection of Christ by his own people, the birthright has passed or is passing from the Jews to the believing Gentiles. But just as important is the realization that our Christ today is not just the Savior for the Gentiles. He's also the stone for God's building. Let's join Witness Lee.
So, the Lord Jesus got out. No defect was found out. They let the Lord Jesus go. But the Lord Jesus didn't let them go. After such a wise answer, the Lord Jesus told them a little parable. A man has two sons. The first one was too poor, yet eventually the first one obeyed the father's word. And the second one was very good, yet eventually was altogether disobedient to the father. You could see this word of the Lord implies in the eyes of God, by this time the birthright was taken from Israel and given to another people who are mostly composed with the saved sinners and collectors. This means the birthright of God has been taken from Israel and given to the church. Then the Lord Jesus went on to indicate something concerning God's building. From verse 42, Jesus says to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected?" Who is this stone? And who are the builders? Jewish leaders. This stone has become the cornerstone. And this was from the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Jewish leaders never have such a concept that our Savior is a stone for God's building. Have you ever heard that our Savior Christ is a stone for God's building? In Acts chapter 4, Peter told them Christ was the stone rejected by them, the builders. Eventually, Peter said, "No other name has ever been given that we may be saved." Christians used this verse for the preaching of the gospel, but not one has ever told people that this one is not only the Savior, but also the stone. Our Savior is a stone. A stone Savior. The Savior is related to the salvation, and the stone is related to the building. Our Savior is the stone, and God's salvation is for His building. You may say that in the old time, the nation of Israel was a vineyard, but today, the church is not merely vineyard. Today the church is a building. The vineyard is something that grows something. So the vineyard is a farm. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "You are God's farm and you are God's building. Whatever the farm grows is for the building." But the children of Israel didn't see this. This is a sad thing. But in these last days, the light has come to us. And this has been recovered. Christ is not only our Savior, but the stone.
Ron, I remember touching this point back in the Gospel of John. But certainly it's also important, even a critical matter, in Matthew. And that is that Christ is not only the Savior, but also the stone for God's building. Why do we consider this aspect of Christ so crucial in the Bible, even to put it on a par with Him being the Savior?
We consider it crucial because God considers it crucial. We have no right to elevate something to an importance beyond what is given in the Word of God. We need to have a sense of proportion. But the Bible ends with the New Jerusalem as the consummation of God's building work. In Matthew 16, the Lord said, "I will build my church." Here we have a word about a stone, Christ Himself, rejected by the builders. So this aspect is crucial in our consideration because in the Bible it is crucial. Unfortunately, for the most part, believers do not pay adequate attention to this crucial matter of building. God's goal is the building. It's to build a spiritual house. It's to build a holy city, not a material city. God's goal is not to build mansions for us in a heaven as envisioned by so many religious ones. God's goal is his building, which is the corporate expression of himself through Christ and the vast multitude of believers in Christ who are the sons of God and the brothers of Christ. And Christ is many things in this building. He is the builder. But in this passage we're emphasizing, he is the stone. Of course, he's the Savior. And we will always appreciate him as our Savior. But for what are we saved? Not only from what, but for what? According to Acts 4, salvation is for God's building. Peter says that there is salvation only in the name of the Lord Jesus, but this one is the stone for the building. So we're touching a vital point here in the whole Bible, a point concerning which many Christians, frankly speaking, are ignorant. So we must emphasize it for two reasons. One is because God emphasizes it. The other reason is that today's religion does not emphasize it. So to be faithful to the Lord and to the seeking ones among God's people, we must strongly emphasize the point that God is a building God, the goal of God as the building God is the building, and in and for God's building, Christ is the stone in a number of vital aspects.
Yeah, that's very clear. It's not a matter of Christ the Savior or Christ the building stone. It's Christ the Savior for the building. And this is the link that you just made, I think, is critical to understand this.
This is precisely the point. He's the Savior for the building. He's the Savior and the stone. So he is the stone Savior. This is the revelation of the New Testament. We need to pay attention to it.
Well, the Lord has some more to say on this subject. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In resurrection, that rejected Christ as the stone of God became the cornerstone. Christ as the joining cornerstone connects both the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers together as one building for God. He is not only the foundation stone to bear the whole building, but also the cornerstone to join the two main walls. Then, verse 44, and he who falls on this stone shall be broken to pieces. The cornerstone, it is here, it is for building. But this cornerstone, which is for building, may be a stumbling block, a stumbling stone. All the rejecting Jews fell upon this stone. And this stone became a stumbling stone. Not only so, he went on to say, but on whomever it falls, it shall scatter them as chaff. He is also a what? A smiting and scattering stone. To whom? To the Gentiles. Now you can see Christ as a stone for three kinds of peoples. For the church, the believers, and for the Jews, for the Israel nation, and also for the Gentile world. To the believers, he is the building stone. To the rejecting Jews, he is the stumbling stone. And to the Gentile world, he is the smiting stone. Now, we have to check, who are we?
Believers.
Is Christ to you a building stone?
Yes.
Are you builded? Have you been builded? The kingdom is altogether depending upon the church. So the church is the life pulse of the kingdom. But listen, the church is altogether depending upon the building. Wherever we are, we need to be builded. To be builded. We have to enjoy and experience our Christ as the cornerstone that connects us, that joins us. We in Him and through Him, by Him and with Him must be builded together. Without such a building, the church is vague. The reality of the church is the building. Christ as life to all of us is not only for victory, but even the more for building. You need to be builded. So we must experience Christ as the building stone.
Ron, this is a tremendous realization regarding Christ, that no matter what category of person we are in this age, a believing Christian, a practicing Jew, an agnostic, an unbeliever, all three categories will ultimately experience Christ as the stone. To the Jews, the stone that stumbles them. To the unbelievers, He's a stone that will ultimately smite them. But what about us, the believers? To us, what kind of stone is He?
In a very real sense, what kind of stone Christ is to us depends on us. The normal situation, according to the Word of God, is that Christ is to us the building stone, who has made us living stones for God's building. If we have, from the Bible, a vision of God's building, if we appreciate Christ as the building stone, and if we understand that through regeneration we have become living stones, then in our practical experience, Christ will be to us the building stone. But if we are those that take the Lord's word selectively, that like certain things He says because they are for our benefit, but we don't care for His word about the kingdom or His difficult sayings, then we may be stumbled in our experience by Christ. He should not be the stumbling stone to us, but we are in fact stumbled by Him because of our attitude. Likewise, if we give ourselves to a worldly enterprise of building up something that's contrary to God's kingdom, and of devoting our energy for this kind of thing instead of for God's building, then Christ will be to us the smiting stone. It shouldn't be that way, but we have put ourselves in that situation where Christ is to us the smiting stone or a stumbling stone when He really should be, in our experience, the building stone. So we need to make a kind of decision here. What kind of stone will Christ be to us in our actual practical experience? I can't speak for others, but by the Lord's mercy and grace, I would like to say, I want Christ the stone to be, in my experience, more and more the building stone in resurrection.
Ron, I want to just put an exclamation point on that by quoting one line He made right at the end here. It touched me very much. He said, Christ is life to all of us, is not only for victory, but even the more for building. That's a good point to end on.
Marvelous, even the more for building. We're forgiven, but for God's building. We're saved for God's building. Regenerated for God's building. Justified for God's building. It is all for God's building. Blessed are those who have this divine view and by the Lord's grace are aligned with it and give themselves to it.
Thank you, Brother Ron.
You're welcome.
Let me just point out our toll-free number as their time is erased today. It's 1-888-LIFESTUDY. That's 888 888- 843-3788. We'd love to hear from you. Please call us. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Do you want to know the deeper truths of the Bible? Wish you could attend a Bible study, but just don't have the time? Well, if you enjoyed this program, then we invite you to visit our website at lsmradio.com. From there, you'll find programs on every book of the Bible and all free of charge. These programs will not only give you a more profound understanding of the Scriptures, but also refresh and revitalize your daily Christian walk. From our website, you can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or subscribe to the podcast. Again, all free of charge. Once more, that website, lsmradio.com. Thanks for listening.